Hi, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome to another Juicy Genius interview. Today, Alex and I are here with Olivia Keen, and we had the true pleasure of meeting Olivia in Awesomeness Fest in Maui. We were immediately drawn to her. She was such high energy, passionate woman, and the more we got to know about her and her story and what she's up to, the more we really fell in love with her and just decided this is somebody that we want to introduce our community to and let her share her story with you. So Olivia and her sister Naomi live in Victoria, and they have a company called Keen to Be Fit. Olivia also has Victoria Boot Camp. She's a very, very passionate personal trainer, health consultant, and her main mission is to help young women improve their self-esteem and really bring personal awareness into their life. So welcome, Olivia. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Obviously, meeting you guys in Maui, we had the awesomeness connection. And it's really funny that I'm working with women a lot too and just doing this interview. I got into the business about 2.5 years ago, and it kind of has just naturally, organically become dealing with women, because as women, we know there's a missing gap to saying things as they really are and kind of getting down to the nitty gritty. So on paper, I'm a trainer, a nutrition coach, but ultimately my passion is helping young women through higher self-esteem and confidence and letting them live their passion and finding out what really makes them excited in life.
Awesome. We love that. We love how aligned your vision is with ours. And obviously both Leanne and I are super passionate about empowering women also. And so that's awesome. You're clearly a juicy genius. We know that you've been in this whole fitness, nutrition, training business for about 2.5 years. So what were you doing before you started doing that?
Good question. It actually came out of the most difficult time of my life. I was living in Vancouver, and I was probably about 19, 20, and there was a couple things that I was doing that just, it wasn't what I wanted to do intentionally, but I know now looking back that it was what I absolutely needed to do to get to where I was. And so I was going to school, kind of puttering around, really, really busy in courses that I wasn't passionate about, but it was quote unquote what I should do to be successful, you know, as in living in North America, the way I was raised and my upbringing. So I remember just being so busy and not taking care of my health and always having, you know, playing sports and fitness as, you know, my backup growing up. It was like, didn't matter how busy or how bad my day was. It's like, I was always playing soccer, so I was able to de-stress or go to the gym, but I completely let that go. I was eating really unhealthy and I just truly wasn't happy. So that's kind of the answer. I was in school doing a whole bunch of courses, and I decided to move back home for financial reasons. And I remember the month before I decided to be a trainer was probably the worst month of my life. I was for surely depressed. I'd get up in the morning and look outside, and it'd be sunny out, and I'd like turn the blinds down, and it just wasn't good. And I knew, you know, authentically that wasn't me, but I didn't really know how to change it. And I remember the turning point for me was being in the doctor's office, and I was telling him kind of what I was going through, and he was like, "Oh, well, obviously you're depressed. Why don't you go on Paxil?" Whoa, red flag, like huge red flag for me. You know, I knew I was in a bad state, you know, especially just mentally, not knowing what to do with your life. But I knew I wasn't a depressed person. So that was like the turning point for me in terms of taking responsibility and kind of looking and assessing where I was and where I wanted to be. And I figured, well, I got nothing to lose. So I'm going to just kind of pursue what I've always liked, which is helping other people, you know, through fitness. It's kind of what I was doing when I was really young anyway. I would take girlfriends to the gym or, you know, talk to people about eating better. So it was super organic. But again, it came from a place of pure, like, pain and confusion, which is hilarious because I truly do feel like you need to kind of hit a certain amount of failure or hit a brick wall to really, you know, go for what you want to and stand up for yourself. So it was an awesome experience at that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and being so candid. I think a lot of times people, like I remember myself, I went to university and I started off in sciences and I was like, hell no, this is not what I want to do. So then I went into business. Yeah. But then I found myself, I had graduated and it was sort of like, what are the next steps? And I think I went through a pretty, I mean, I guess it was sort of towards the end of university, I was going through a difficult time and I'm like, what am I going to do? And there's this and there's that. And I think that a lot of times so many people have something in their minds and it's really what they've always thought they should do. And they don't actually stop and figure out, well, what do I actually want to do? For me, I really started, I was in a job and I knew that it wasn't what I wanted to do, but there was about a year and it was tough and I felt down in the dumps. I'm like, I'm living in the city I didn't love. My friends weren't there. My job was good, but I knew I wasn't fulfilled. And that's when I actually talked to Alex and she's like, I'm in Malaysia working for this awesome company. I know you would love it. I'm like, do you know what? This actually sounds great. And it really took, it was stepping outside of my comfort zone. And it did take that, like there was about a year though, and it wasn't rock bottom by no means, but it was difficult and it was trying. And it really took just getting real with myself and asking myself, what do I want out of life? And how do I, what's the vision that I want for my life? And then, yes, my little angel A came along. And before I knew it, I was in Malaysia. And, you know, it's the rest is history in some sense. So it definitely sounds like you hit that point. But rather than actually just giving in to society and the doctors, you're like, do you know what? It's time for me to take control. And what do I love? And you went back to things that you naturally loved and that you were passionate about, and that's helping other people and exercise. So it sounds like that's when you had your stroke of juicy genius. But can you expand on that a little bit more? So your stroke of juicy genius is really, when did you have that aha moment when it's like, this is exactly what I should be doing, and this is how I want to live my life?
Well, it's actually interesting. When I got into training people, I got certified as a personal trainer. But I never thought in a million years that I would be able to make a full-on business and be so passionate about it. You know, for me, it was like, okay, well, don't know what I'm going to do, so I'll do this to go do something else, if that makes sense. And I find that there's so much pressure in our society, especially for, you know, us women, not only to, you know, have families and, you know, be successful, but really figure out what we want to do at a young age. So people get, I think, scared and they get into a job they're not super passionate about, but they get stuck there, right? Where this was just kind of a natural process out of pain and, you know, keep on keeping on and then realizing like, holy cow, I can really do whatever with this. And it's funny how it's totally transpired and become something I'm really passionate about in such a big scale, but it was really through trying, like you said, it was, you know, trying different areas of the business. And the beauty of, I think, finding the juicy genius moment that I had is that I realized that you're kind of limitless. Like you have all this power in life, you can do anything, but you really have to keep going, like one foot in front of the other, and prove it to yourself. And like you said, step outside your comfort zone. So now I wake up every day, and I'm not kidding, every couple of days, I'll be so excited that I almost cry. Like, I'm just like, this is freaking awesome. And I cannot believe how many things are attracted to me that I want. But I think it's because of my intention. And my huge, huge point of learning for me in the last 2 years has been, listen to your gut. It is never wrong. When I look back at the things I did that weren't right, it was like I already knew they weren't right. So yep, like my mind and my heart weren't aligned. I didn't trust myself, right? Yep. And so now I, you know, when somebody asks me to do something or you guys interviewed me, I'm like right away, I wouldn't even think twice about it. I know that's the right thing to do. So with business, it's like when you follow your heart and you really listen to what, you know, things inside of you, it's totally going to lead you to the path of like quote unquote enlightenment or whatever you want to call it. And when you're really in line with focusing on what makes you happy, but also your talent, the sky is the limit, right? What you really enjoy. So my juicy genius was probably when that happened at the doctor's office. That was like step one. But now I just feel like it's so enormous, like the amount of passion and love that I have, not only for what I do for other people. And that's been the biggest learning curve too, is that realizing that life is all about helping people in terms of being happy. Like I remember showing up at classes and I'd be like, oh, I just don't feel good today or this and that. And then 30 people would be there and I just have such a good time teaching. By the end of the class, I'd forget what my problem was, right? Like, I don't, how can you even think about yourself at that point, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I absolutely love what you're saying. And it's funny as you're telling your story, I'm putting myself in that exact same position that I was in, you know, back in, I guess it was 2007. You know, I had a really similar story. I was away at college and was planning to be a lawyer. A lot of people in our community know that story. And I was working my ass off at university to get my undergrad in business law and economics. And and ended up after traveling and going abroad for a bit, moving back home with my parents and having this, honestly, this total, I mean, you asked my mom, you know my mom, I literally cried all the time because I was back to a serving job and I had an education that, you know, that I knew that I could put to use, but I didn't feel right doing it because I knew deep down I didn't want to be a lawyer. And having that moment of, oh my God, I can do anything, and that this whole myth I was telling myself that I had to be a lawyer my whole life. And and it's so scary. Like, I can feel that feeling in the pit of my stomach where it's like, whew. Like, a lot of people, when they talk about, like, the sky is the limit, that's actually one of the most scariest realizations that someone can have because all of a sudden they know that they can't just settle for what they're doing and that they have to step outside their comfort zone. And so there's no doubt about it that, you know, often it doesn't take hitting rock bottom, like Leanne said, but you almost have to be in a place of, okay, I am committed to making a change and I'm going to take the steps no matter how difficult it might seem, because I know that I deserve that for myself and I know that I deserve to be happy. And I love what you said about, you know, the doctors told you you were depressed. I went through that as well when I was dealing with my celiac disease and it was affecting me emotionally. I had doctors tell me, like, you're depressed, you're stressed, you're, you know, and I refused to believe it because I'm like, no, that's not who I am. I know that. And so I love that you just stuck to who you were and really just said, no, that's not who I am and I'm going to make a change. And so the one question that I want to ask you now is, you know, I'd already said how scary it is to really realize that you can do anything, but, you know, how did you overcome that fear of really stepping into something unknown and making it a business? Because I think a lot of women do want to, they do realize they're meant to do more. They do want to step into, you know, their J-spot, as we would say, and really start a business around their passions. Yeah. But how do you actually go about doing it in a way that's going to actually work out? And how do you get over that fear?
Good question. Yeah, and I think it, on the outside, it's always easy for people to look and be like, oh, it was just so easy for you, right? Not seeing the steps behind, especially when you're on fire and you feel, you know, as enthusiastic as we do. But it definitely was one foot in front of the other. I have to say it was probably a very progressive process in the sense where I'm sure about every week I would do something outside my comfort zone and then I'd have an aha moment like, whoa, that wasn't so hard. You know, I remember the first time I had to speak in front of 20 people. I was terrified. You know, where you're speaking and you can hear yourself not speaking properly. And it was just like, I had so much anxiety. And I, and where I am now is in a totally different place. But it was stepping outside my comfort zone at a comfortable rate, if that makes any sense. I slowly realized, you know, potential to the point now where I'm like, wow, we really can do anything we put our mind to. But I had to kind of prove it to myself. And like the story I told you about with university and going to school was kind of like what I was like in high school too. I always knew there was something more, but again, I was trying to follow the traditional, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make X amount of money, and I'm going to get married at this certain age. And then, you know, becoming an entrepreneur has really rewritten the whole life story. So I think it's important to, you know, do little things constantly and be consistent. You know, it's nice to talk about all of this and, you know, dream, but we really need to start taking action on a regular basis because all the little things do truly add up to the big stuff, whether it be, you know, me speaking in front of a group of people, teaching a class, organizing something online. Like, I think it all does add up. Like, if I look back and try to connect the dots backwards, it totally makes sense, right, in building that confidence. But, yeah, just showing up every day and being on and being excited and passionate, right? That's probably why you have to absolutely do what you're passionate about. Otherwise, all the stuff you do for free, all the stuff you do that doesn't work out, it would just almost be, it would be so difficult, right, to just show up and be there.
Definitely. Well, you know? And I love, like, what when you were talking, it actually reminded me, I'm pretty sure it's Buddha that I'm about to quote, but I'm not exactly sure. But there's this one quote, and it says, the bucket fills one drop, fills, like, the bucket becomes full of water one drop at a time. And to me, that really is, because I'm someone, I have all these ideas and there's this and there's that. It's like, it's great to have the ideas. It's great to have the visions. That's very essential. But at the end of the day, you need to bring it back down to reality, make your to-do lists, and start implementing things one step at a time. And it really is about being consistent. And if you, I really love what you said, that you would step outside of your comfort zone once, like one time per week. And every time you did, the magic would happen. And I think that's a really good reminder for everyone. It's like, have your to-dos, be very strategic and, you know, methodical and consistent and do this, do this, do this. But don't get too comfortable either and always continue pushing yourself. So yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That was really great.
You know, something's really funny, actually, that I'd love to point out. I was actually a little bit nervous even before this, and this is funny because I totally know you guys. And I'm like, I've been interviewing people, why am I nervous? And so it's such a great thing in life, right? It's like I'm all of a sudden going to be asked questions. I don't know what they're going to be about. So I would highly even consider this coming outside my comfort zone, which is awesome, right? Because I know after I hang up from you guys, I'm going to feel amazing. But totally. It's the initial, right? It's like the fear of the unknown. It's like, oh my God, I love these girls, I know them, but what are they going to ask me?
That's funny. That's right. It's weird. Blindsided.
Which is really important, right? Is realizing that, you know, behind the fear and after, you know, you put yourself out there, that the feeling after, which you guys know, I'm sure, very well, is this elevated feeling you just can't get in life unless you do step outside your comfort zone. It's so important. I keep seeing this quote on Facebook that everybody has, and it's like, the circle, and it says life begins outside that. Nothing could be more true about that, eh?
Yeah, but it's so true. Well, and it kind of reminds me of those days when, like, you don't want to work out at all, but you know, and so it's finally you do it, and then after you feel amazing.
Yeah,
always. It's the same sort of, it's like, why did it take me half an hour to convince myself to go do that? Yeah. Like, I could have. And this is something we were actually, the three of us were talking before we hopped on the phone, and we said we're really, really fortunate to have supportive parents and loving families and people, those supporters in our life who really encourage us to chase after our dreams and to go out there and just make it happen. But I know Alex and I, and I'm sure this, and you have experienced this as well, I'm sure, but how do you deal with people who are unsupportive or the people who assume that it is easy for you? Because there always are those people who kind of come in, and it can be a drag sometimes. Yeah. So how do you deal with those people?
Good question. I call them the toxic. I always have in my presentation, I'm like, what do I mean by toxic? And nothing could be probably more harmful or positive in your life than people that you surround yourself with. The whole quote, you are who you surround yourself with, could not be more true. Yeah.
So true.
But I think it's like ebbs and flows in life, realizing that no matter how good you do or how bad you do, there's always going to be people there saying, you know, you're not doing good, you're lazy, you're doing really good, they get jealous, whatever it is. And realizing that you're the only one that has control of how you feel, but you do have control about where you spend your time with. And I deal with a lot of women, especially here in Victoria, who have literally, built their identity around the women that they hung out with since they were like five. And the problem with that is, if you're not all growing and supporting each other, sometimes, and most of the time, especially at a young age, people change drastically. And so people, I find, because they're in this little group, they don't want to go out of their group to be the one that's shining to make the other people feel small. So then they don't, right? I see it all the time, especially with girls like 16 to 20. And, you know, it's like that bully thing, that Mean Girls. You guys know that movie, right? Where it's like the queen bee. And it's such BS because people don't let their light shine. And I think it's like another good quote. What is it? Somebody quoted about it's really important to let your light shine to help other people, right? Like you playing small isn't good for people. So, I mean, ultimately we only have so much time in this life and it's not a lot. So if you can just completely spend time with the people that do support you. And then when the stuff does come up, when the crap does come up with other people, just realizing like that's a part of life and those people are on their journey and it isn't your responsibility to take on that feeling, right? It's like, don't take things personally. I think of that all the time when stuff doesn't go wrong. I just say it in my head, don't take it personally. You drive and someone fingers you, don't take it personally. Like, whatever it is, right? It's just like, wish people well and keep on keeping on, right? Like, we're in a bigger purpose and we got to help people. Right? So we have to be able to endure the negative stuff too. But the choice, I guess, is ultimately just try to spend the least amount of time with those types of people and those environments because it is a choice, right?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, and I think I hear that from a lot of people who we talk to about how do you deal with negative people. And a lot of people say, well, I have no choice. They're my best friends or my family. And it is hard whether people who have been in your life for a long time, especially if they're your family. But at the end of the day, it is still a choice. And it comes down to energetically distancing yourself. You know, if you if your parents, for example, aren't supportive of what you're doing, you can still, sure, put in the time and be there and love them for who they are and support them for who they are, but really learn to energetically disconnect yourself, you know, from those people. And I think that's so, so key, because like you said, you always have a choice. And, you know, we always quote Jim Rohn, you're some of the five people that you spend the most time with. Yeah. And if you could only pick five people in, like, your whole life, let's say, to spend time with, why wouldn't you pick, and if you were the sum of them, why wouldn't you pick the best? And not only the best in terms of how much money they make or how successful they are, but how they make you feel. Because I really think that's a measure of how supportive someone is. It's not necessarily the words they say, because sometimes words can be empty, but it's how do they make you feel? Do they make you feel like you're you know, that you're really truly doing what you're passionate about, and they're supportive in every way and energetically? And I think that's so key. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that, and we wholeheartedly agree with that. So we'll wrap up our interview soon, but the last question that we have for you is, if you could give one juicy tip or word of wisdom to our community, you know, just women who want to get out there and follow their passion and maybe be an entrepreneur, or at least have a career where they're doing what they love, and you know, what would you say to them?
My one tip would be, really simply, don't waste time. By the time you've thought of it, you could already had it done. I realize now, like, it's really just about taking action. You'll learn along the way, and you'll figure it out as you go. I think we wait a lot in this life. Like, no, when I look like this, or when I get this, I'll do that, and then I'll buy this, and go on that trip. It's like, no, that's crap. You have to just do it now, right? Like, you just never know this time, especially for us, you know, living the way we do and where we live. Like, we're so fortunate, and to recognize that and kind of, you know, take life, you know, by the horns and just going for it, I think is very, very powerful. Because, you know, we've kind of been taught to follow the rules like that, which is great, but there's so much more to life than that, right? So don't waste time, take action, and really listen to your gut. It is so going to lead you down the right path. Your intuition is there for a reason, right? It's like what you said about knowing who to hang out with. When you listen to your gut, you know if somebody's good or not good for you, right? And so you can get to where you need to be quicker when you do start trusting yourself more.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And this interview was jam-packed, full of juicy wisdom and a lot of good practical advice. Like, one of the themes that stuck out to me is just take action and make it happen, and don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone.
I just really love everything you said about you know, about how you really took life by the horns, even at a time when you were feeling really low, and realized that there was more out there, and didn't listen to the people who told you that you just needed to take medication and everything would be fine. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of pain, right? We need to feel to find the pleasure and get outside that comfort zone.
But,
like, not being afraid when things aren't going right, and realizing that's your path too, and that's okay if things aren't where you want them to be.
So Olivia, do you have any websites or anywhere people can go to find out more about what you're doing in Victoria? And also, I know you were talking earlier about your personal blog that you're working on?
Yep. So if you go to www.teambefit.com, that's kind of where we do all of our training and our nutrition stuff locally here. Victoria Bootcamp as well, so victoriabootcamp.ca. But where I kind of pour my heart into is oliviakeen.com, where I blog and interview about stuff that I think really matters and kind of just say it how it is. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
That's great. And every ladies, we'll make sure to put the links to these websites below the interview. We'll make it really easy for you to find Olivia and follow up with her. She has so much good to offer to this world. And thank you again for joining us today. And we're really, really pleased to have you here with us.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Yes. Bye.
Bye.